Hey guys, this week's show is brought to you by Crusader, Agent of the Vatican, an epic action-packed graphic novel now available from Diamond Comics Distributors.
It's a 144-page book created by Omar Morales with cover art by the legendary Paul Galassi.
It's about the reluctant priest forced into duty as a holy hitman for the Pope.
Sounds pretty awesome, Pete. And if you guys think it's awesome, you can check it out at your local comic book shop with the order code JUL141266.
The full-color hardcover is only $19.99, and it's also available on digital formats at Comixology and Comics Fix.
For more information, check out theforcemedia.com and at The Crusader on Twitter.
And remember, you can't spell the Crusader without the letter Z.
You can't spell Zalbin without the letter Albin.
Aw,
thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! They got the touch. They got the power. Your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zalbin.
Hey!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And thank you to our amazing announcer,
Kevin Farmer.
Incredible, incredible.
We're all announcers.
Is that what announcers do?
Yes. Everything's exciting in an announcer household.
Yep. Really?
Yeah, yeah, everything. Dinner. Imagine dinner.
Come to dinner! Yeah. Also, there's a nice echo going on the microphones tonight. Do you guys hear that?
That's good. Well, yeah. We're in a cavern.
Yeah. Now, you guys know we have classic opening bits here on the show.
Things that we do
pretty much every time.
I thought we'd
mix it up a little bit. Maybe we could do a little crowd work.
Oh, great idea. Okay, great.
Wow, a little crowd work. Try that?
I love that. I love expanding our horizons.
Where are you from?
Connecticut.
He's from Connecticut.
Okay.
What about you? Where are you from?
Oregon. You can't just gather information. It's not like being a part of the census.
When's the last time you had sex, sir?
Why are you so aggressive?
Isn't that crowd work?
No, that's not crowd work.
You'd be like, Connecticut, nutmeg state, ugh, terrible spice. And that's like, he got zinged.
Uh-huh, all right.
And then you'd be like, Oregon, more like Oregon.
Oh.
No? No. Right. Another member of the audience just said
What
no.
would you say for that guy? He didn't.
Huh? Well, he didn't answer, but like sex, more like I made a huge series of mistakes in my life. And wow, that's crowd work for you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'll pay you for your class afterwards.
It's good. Finally making a little money.
Maybe we should talk about some comic books and talk about our amazing guests, you guys.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. I'm very excited about the guests that we have on tonight. One is the executive producer of Funny or Die, and the other one you've seen perform at the Pit and around town. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Carden and Langston Belto!
Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome to the show.
Come on.
Thanks for showing up.
Come on down. Sit on down.
Please. Sit on down.
Pass the tangle of cords.
Yeah.
The dangerous tangle of cords onto the stage. Guys, we are very excited to have you here.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
To have you, one of you back to the show, one of you on the show for the first time. So we have some exciting stuff to talk about, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Let's start to you first. So you were telling me before the show you work for a website.
Correct. Funny or Die is a website.
It's on the internet.
Great. Yes, we can be found on the internet.
Great.
Good.
Now, you, everybody knows Funny or Die, but you were just working with one of the guys from Gotham recently.
Yes, we shot a video, and Ben McKenzie did a small part in it, a quick little cameo at the end.
Ooh.
And before he left, I said, I'm looking forward to Gotham. Kind of being serious.
And he tried to choke you?
No. He said, oh, thanks. And then he took a pause, and then he said, we're taking a different angle. I hope it doesn't, I hope we do it justice.
Oh, that does not bode well.
And I was like, he's like, yeah, it's gonna be a
fresh take on the whole thing.
So wait, you didn't offer anything like I'm concerned about what you.
No. I didn't lead him at all.
Oh, really?
I just said I'm looking forward to it.
No, you don't pressure someone. That's not what a friendship.
Well, but he did. I guess what I'm saying.
You wanted him to ask the hard question.
No, I didn't want him to ask hard questions. It's just surprising to me that McKenzie, as I call him, just came out with that right off the bat, as it were.
Right.
Oh.
Wow, great stuff.
Thank you. Now, we were talking about this a little bit last week. Some of us have seen Gotham.
Oh, really?
Some of us or just one of us?
Well, just one of us. Last week, our guest had also seen Gotham.
Right.
So What did you think?
They're kind of taking a different angle with it, so I hope you enjoy it.
What is that? Oh.
Cool.
What does that mean?
So once you see it, you're like part of a weird cult?
If I see,
like half apologizing for it?
Yeah.
If I see a kid in a Batman suit, I'm turning the television off.
Yeah, you're not going to see that for like 10 years.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
Don't worry about
That's
it.
That's why we'll keep
all.
Watching it for so long.
Going back in time, comic booky stuff, anybody else you've worked with in particular on Funny or Die that was... stood out to you? I mean, you guys do a fair amount of comic book geeky stuff on the site.
We did a video with Samuel L. Jackson.
Ooh. That's pretty cool.
Nick Fury, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was great. He was exactly what you would expect him to be. He was cool as hell. And at one point, we were shooting outside, and it was in July. It was about a year ago. And he was it was extremely hot. Everyone's sweating, except for him. And I looked at the monitor. He's not sweating at all. And I looked at him. And then another actor in the piece said something about, everyone's sweating, but you're not. And he had his eyes closed, and he was just kind of looking in the air, and he said, mind control, baby. That was all he said.
Ah, whoa.
Wow. And I was like, damn. Okay, cool.
Wait, so he actually was sweating, and he had
convinced
all you guys?
No, he was not sweating.
No, he was pulling other people's sweat into his body.
That's why he's a Jedi. That's why he's a Jedi.
He's amazing.
Now, have you found... obviously, comic book movies, things like that have exploded over the past couple of years. Have you guys found that you're leaning into that material a little more on the site, or does it just not matter?
It honestly doesn't matter. It's harder. Yeah. Those guys are busy, so they're harder to get to come do stuff for an internet site.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the problem, that we always want to. We're always trying to get them, but they
you have so many people from period dramas that are calling you that want to be in
movies. Lots of corsets on Funny or Die.
Yeah.
Now, you guys did a video a couple of years ago with Michael Shannon, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Were you on set for that one?
I was not on set for that, but what had happened was we were supposed to meet with him on a Sunday to pitch ideas to him, and he was promoting Man of Steel, so he had no time. Sunday was the entire staff was going to come in and pitch ideas. On Thursday, a sorority letter came out where a girl just lambasted the rest of her sorority for not partying enough or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I remember that.
They were going to a pep rally or something like that. They didn't go, and she was like really pissed off.
Yeah, they weren't drinking enough. They weren't going to the right things.
The
letter came out and on a Thursday, and then we decided that he should do that. If he did a dramatic reading, that would be perfect. Sent it to him. He said, I don't understand this, but I'll do it. It'll be fun. Showed up at a producer's house with two cases of beer. Shot it in like 2 hours. It's from what I hear, is the only time that, at least on our sets, that the crew gave a standing ovation after his first read because it was that awesome. And then it was done. We still met with him on Sunday, and he was great. And then the video went insane.
Like, wait, he showed up with two cases of beer?
Brought two cases of beer.
That's
like, let's
bad.
Shoot
that's
it.
Bad.
Really?
Well, you know,
wait, I missed that. That is
part.
Awesome.
That's crazy. He lives in Red Hook, which is sort of where I live in Brooklyn, and he'll just be wandering around often, going to different restaurants. He says hello to people. And
do you ever test the tenacity of his neck?
Yeah, I squeeze
like,
his neck
see
a little.
See how snappable his neck is?
He's like, go ahead, do it. And I'm like, whoa.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Now, when you say wandering around, are you like... hey, are you lost? Like, do you need directions?
I think he knows where he's going, but I think he just spends his time doing whatever the fuck
just
he wants.
Just walking the earth and, like,
I mean, he's sort
others.
Of terrifying. He's a terrifying... Yeah. He's a strong presence.
Yeah. He's a very large head.
Yeah, very large
head. Do you think if you saw him walking around and he was like, I'm lost, would you help
I don't know,
him?
Like, he's doing a funny voice?
No, that's like, why Michael Shannon impressed.
Oh, you're thinking of, like, a Muppet version of him. If a puppet, yeah, like a lost uh-huh. puppet needed
right.
someone. If he needed help, I would help him. Yeah, of course. I help anyone in need.
Oh, that's
super
sweet.
That's bullshit.
Now, what's coming up for you guys? What do you want to plug? What should people be looking out for?
I mean, just go to the site. Every day there's something new.
Yeah.
So fast.
Right. I guess, plug Funny or Die. Like, which site should we...
I like to think Funny. Like, just go to the site and then click Funny on whatever is there.
Cool.
Anything that's there, click Funny.
How much of the site is still like, oh, I hope people don't pick Die? Is it still a lot?
I never think about it.
Do you have meetings about, like, man, we got 10 dies on this. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we have die meetings. Yeah. it's going to the crypt.
Yeah. Oh, man, that used to be, when the site launched, that was such a thing. It was like, we need more funnies. We got to get more funnies on this video. And now it's not a thing.
Amazing. So check out that website, you guys, on the internet, as we established. Great.
Wow.
Now, Langston, as a...
Nothing. Can I just say that nothing I say from this point on will be as cool as anything he just said?
Untrue.
It's like...
Well,
that's
I lower
that's
the bar.
I do improv on occasion. What's Samuel Jackson like? Like, I don't...
Well, but you're a working actor in New York, and as a working actor in New York, you go on auditions sometimes.
Yes,
have you auditioned for anything cool recently?
I did get to audition for Star Wars Episode 7.
Wow.
It was the weirdest thing. It's my only cool story, and then I'll leave, and you can talk to him for the rest of the show. So I'm at home. I was literally, I'm not making this up, I was at home watching wrestling videos on YouTube and eating ramen. Because I had a show that evening, and I was like, I want to relax before I go do my show.
You got to prepare the instrument.
Yeah, I got to get ready. I got to get all my my Ultimate Warrior references up. Mm. God rest him. And so I get a phone call on my cell phone, and it's like a number that I don't know, and I usually don't answer it. So I was like, fuck that, whatever that is. And then they left a voicemail, and I go, oh, well, if they left a voicemail, then it must be an important thing. If you call someone, it's a big deal. If you leave a voicemail, like I'm like thinking like one of my family members has died or something like that. Like, that's right. So I pick it up, and, The agent that I now signed with was like, hey, it was so funny because it was such agent speak. It was like, hey, Langston, got your info from the People's Improv Theater website. I want to know if you want to come and audition for a feature film. They saw your picture. They like your look. And let me know if you want to come in. And I go...
Playing it very cool.
Yeah, he was just like... I imagine he had 80, like, big aviator sunglasses on, was throwing a basketball into a hoop in the back of his door, and had his feet up, and a girl was massaging his shoes. Just his feet.
And before the call was over, and he was and it's fucking Star Wars!
And so, I go call him, I gotta go, hell yeah, I'll go for a feature film, whatever, and then he sends me the email, and I scroll down, and you know, it has all the breakdowns like that, and the breakdown says, production company, Bad Robot, Lucasfilm, Disney, and I go, oh, no.
You're like, oh, no.
No, come on, man. I want to, but come on. He had no idea that I cared about it so much, like what that would do to my brain, whereas other actors are probably going to be like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to be in that movie. But it's like, excuse me and my mother annually watched all three movies, and I was like, this is what film is. Like, I love that. Love the original trilogy so much.
Well, there are six movies. You should.
There are three movies that I know of.
Okay. Yeah, three. Thank you. Thank
there
you.
Was a, there Phantom was a, there was an animated Jack series the that they released in theaters at one point. And then it was the weird thing of like going in, getting watermarked sides, and then reading it and being like, oh, okay, yeah, I gotta do this. And then going in and saying those things out loud. Like, I will never fault any actor in any big budget anything ever again, because some of the shit you have to say is like this. There's a sentence. I'll say this. I'll fudge it because, you know, so I don't get arrested.
Yeah,
it's like
NDA,
this galaxy will be destroyed by dark energy. And it's like, how can I say this and not go afterwards but you know what I mean?
Well, as long as you weren't sweating while you were doing it.
Oh, no, I was sweating like a monster, but I only sweat, unlike Samuel Jackson. I use my mental powers to only make all the sweat come under my arms.
Me too.
Yeah, I get rad pit stains, but nothing up here. It's all just...
So
your body's broken.
Doing that audition, do you know stuff about Star Wars that nobody else knows, or... Only people involved in the production?
I know stuff now. I know. I've heard rumors and stuff like that, and I've heard some rumblings because a lot of my friends actually that live in London are working on it, like doing makeup and like production stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like they were like, oh, man, this is kind of cool because I'm working on this. And like they're like, don't fucking tell anybody. Because
But you can tell us.
It's just us.
Because here's the thing. They're all going to listen, and they're all going to get texts like, what the hell are you doing? And I mean, J.J. Abrams just leaked all those things. But needless to say, all my friends that have been working on the film say it is like it's outrageously like my friend used the term, and she's delightfully British, and she's like I won't do it the accent because I can do it, but whatever. But she's like, it's beautiful, the thing I get to be a part of every day. And when she, I was like, oh, Jesus.
Is she talking about the makeup room, or does she think she...
No, just everything, like the whole production, she says, is like the fact that they're using more practical effects, and he really wants it to be like, he wants you to feel like you are immersed in this world, and she likened it back to, as I've likened it back to, there's that scene in Return of the Jedi where the Emperor's arriving on the Death Star, and there's that huge shot of that hangar, and those are all real people that are all stormtroopers. Like, it wants to be like that. It's like, oh my God, this is a world that he's building and sparing no expense to create and re-immerse us in, and be like, remember that goofy sterile nonsense that you had to watch a couple years ago? No. Remember when Tatooine was a desert and not pod racing? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when you saw the cast list come out and you realized that the part you had tried out for went to Mark Hamill, how did you feel?
Relieved.
Yeah.
So relieved. But the funny thing was, like, when we got called in, I know the guy, the young man from Attack the Block, John Boyega, was pretty much the role that, like, they called in people to read for. And then there was actually a good deal of relief of being like, oh, I was never going to be in this movie. They wanted to be like, hey, can you see a black guy doing this? He kind of looks like John Boyega. Okay, let's... And, you know, God bless. My mom was, like, so excited when I told her. And I go, Mom, they're not going to fly me to London, who's never done a movie before, and be like, hey, be in the most important thing that's come out in the past 20 years, please. Yeah. And also, don't mess it up because everyone's watching, including Walt Disney.
I mean, that's the... Well, I mean, I as a classically trained actor, I am that same thing.
Oh, how did your Star Wars audition go?
Actually, not to one up you, since you're sort of shitting on me. I auditioned for the role of Edward Nygma in Gotham.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah.
How has this never come up on this comic book talk show?
I wasn't supposed to talk about it for a while, and now since they cast somebody, I feel like I can. It was great.
Holy smokes.
It went really well. Were you happy? I mean,
did you get the part?
let me just tell you, Pete, yes.
Okay.
But don't tell anybody else that.
All right. Secret.
No, it was good. It was a nice... It's weird what they're doing with it.
Like a little different? They hope you don't...
It's a different direction?
Yeah, different direction.
It's a slightly different direction that I hope will really work out. You know? I also auditioned for Foggy Nelson in the Daredevil show.
Did you?
No.
What?
Did you get that?
No, I did not get that one. Man. I mean, for you, Pete, yes, I did, but don't tell anyone.
They're going to cast you as Night Thrasher. That's my hope.
I mean, yeah, exactly. In the Daredevil show. Yeah, just don't take the helmet off.
Real quick, if you could choose any part, Marvel, DC, only TV, what would you take?
Who started?
Only TV?
Yeah, only TV.
Only TV?
Yeah, so Daredevil show.
They made it TV. Oh, not like, hey, if they made this TV show, you could be on it? Or is
no,
like,
no, no. Like
the TV
the
shows that exist
that
now?
Casting right now. Oh, that's man.
Dream
going
job. Luke Cage.
You do
nice.
Luke Cage?
I want to be Luke Cage.
All right.
Great. Interesting. Strong choice. Strong casting choice.
Langston?
I can't pick Luke Cage, man. He's better Luke Cage than I am. God, that's tough. You know what I want to be? I would want to be in the... I would like to be... like a kingpin's like henchman.
Ooh, that's
like
good.
Like a henchman that ends up becoming...
Keep your sights low.
Yeah, man, I can get that. I can nail that.
Yeah, if funny.
He's on his way in, boss. Like I can do that all day long.
That was amazing.
What about you?
They
guys?
Might not even put you on screen if you say that.
No, just a finger coming through a curtain.
I mean, I would want to be Iron Fist just because I would get to punch people. I mean, that would be
the greatest
job ever.
I mean,
can you give us
typecasting.
Like a quick Tai Chi punch type thing?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Ready?
Oh, not even a sound.
Yeah. You and I have equal chance of getting what we want.
He just had a heart attack, you guys.
I was about to say.
That was Pete's insides falling out.
Yep.
Great. Yeah. What about you, Alex?
I would love to be the guy who drives the truck that blinds Daredevil. I think that would be pretty cool.
Oh, what a nasty answer. You just cackle out the window.
That means you create the Ninja Turtles, too, right?
What?
You create the Ninja Turtles, too, right?
I do, all of that. Sure, same ooze.
If I may, in addition, I would also like to play a young Lex Luthor on Gotham.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
That's good.
Yeah, I like it.
Wow. I just thought you all went, all right.
Well, I was just thinking.
We
like,
accept it. You sold it to us. That was your acting. That was your talent. Strong.
Yeah, and I want to be Spider-Man in the background of Gotham. Just one scene. Just swing around. It's a long shot. I'll grant you it's a long shot. I'll just swing past in the background, waving.
Real distracting.
Real distracting, yeah.
Cool. So, Langston, plug some stuff. What should people check out?
Yes. The thing that I'm really... The thing that I'm really, really proud of that's going on right now is I'm a part of a really fun improv show, improvised theatrical show called GUS, which stands for Generic Underground Shelter. The website is thisisgus.com. It's an improvised one act with Nick Carrillo, who's another performer of the pit, and Devin Heater and myself. And it is an improvised one act play about three men trapped in a shelter after the end of the apocalypse. And it's a live show. So we wear like red jumpsuits and just improvise a day in the life or 45 minutes in the life of these gentlemen that are trapped in this shelter.
Different apocalypse each time?
No, we don't. I mean, we don't know. I mean, yeah, the live show, yeah, it varies depending. We're doing a web series where there is one overall, you know, apocalypse. And we have a shared history. But the live show is, yeah, it's different every time. It's been lizard people, it's been robots, it's been, like, you know, just famine.
Just regular famine.
Yeah, just famine. Just
I was hoping you were going to say...
That sounds like a fun one.
It's a good one. It was a laugh riot.
I was hoping you were going to be like, it's lizards, it's robots, it's robot lizards.
We have robot lizards.
Same person giving us a suggestion every time?
We don't even get a suggestion, but it's goofy minds go like, we'll kill everybody. We did the Vassar College Comedy Festival, and it was lizard people created a flood.
Seems plausible to me.
That's great. Lizards love water.
Those damn lizard people.
Definitely go see that show. And guys, we are going to move to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Okay. In the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week that we particularly liked. First one we're going to talk about, this is Pete's pick, Invincible, number 112.
Yeah.
From Image Comics. Now, Pete, last month we talked about Invincible. And I told you that
you
that
said
was,
you were done with the comic.
I was done with the. So is this? Are you doing this to force me to read this book? Is that the only reason?
Like you've done to me many fucking times.
All right, fair point.
Wow, what a weird fight.
Well played. What did you like about this book other than needling me?
I thought this. I agree with you. The last issue was really insane. But I feel like this issue did an amazing job of. Winning the kind of sanity back a little bit. It's really kind of fucked up, but in a way that makes sense, that clicks a lot of things. Like, oh, this is why.
So when you say winning the sanity back, you mean someone going on a murder spree.
Right. But you knew the whole time. It kind of like the reveal is, okay, this guy has wanted to kind of relive a fucked up thing that he did before.
Just real quick to interrupt about the plot. Yeah, yeah. Of the book.
Yeah.
So, Invincible, superhero, he's had this friend called Robot, who's a regular guy who can control lots of robots, super smart. Robot has revealed that he's decided the best way of running the world is by taking it over.
Right.
And this issue, he enacts his plan, which is basically to kill most of the superheroes in the world.
Yeah. Right.
But also, he was trapped on that like planet for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was trapped on an alien planet for 1,000 years with his sometimes girlfriend. Yeah. This issue he spends trying to convince her this is a good idea while doing his plan 35 minutes ago.
Yeah, because his apparently it worked on the other planet.
And Watchmen.
Yeah. Now, do you think he's right, Pete? You think he's doing the right thing?
No.
No.
Did you start your plan 35 minutes ago?
Yeah. Did you start your evil plan?
Cool. Yeah, mine was to have the U.S. win the World Cup.
But did you like this, Alvin? I thought it was a good issue.
I don't know. My heart has hardened. I'm curious to hear what these guys think. I really
enjoy Invincible. Yeah. I also like when Invincible's in the book, and he's not in this one.
I was wondering where Invincible was.
I was like, and here comes Invincible, and here comes, which is fine, but because, you know, Robert Kirkman is so good about doing, like, these really broad, like, juggling a lot of characters. So it's not that Invincible is now more, in my mind, of like, this is the universe that we inhabit, is Invincible's universe. There is a lot of death.
I was going to say, I feel like after this issue, he's going to be juggling less characters.
Clean his plate a little bit because he kills so many people. Really, really efficiently, too. Like, in just one panel, like, dead, done.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking, this issue.
It is really well. I do like love the artwork, though.
Is it bad that I agree with the plan? That I think it's probably a good
for your
over
future.
The world.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're a sociopath.
Yeah, if I had superpowers, I would be.
You would be a robot.
Sociopath. Yeah.
Agree.
It'd be bad. Nice. It'd be bad for everyone.
Hey, Magneto was right.
I never thought I'd say this same way, but I hope you never get superpowers.
What a sad.
Guess we'll have to wait and see. Yeah.
If you aren't picking up this book, Ryan Ottley's art is fantastic as always. His splashes are amazing. His panels are gigantic and exciting. I just can't. There's too much death. Can't get on board.
So you're just the death. The death toll is
the death. It's violent. It's gross. It's bloody. I just can't get into it.
I have a question. Was anyone in this? Because I haven't read Invincible in a while. Was anyone killed that you like loved or that you knew a lot about, or were these just
no, these were mostly strangers?
Yeah. I mean, there are people who have shown up a lot. But
my favorite part of the book, though, is that he does all these little ancillary characters. Like, there's a dude who, and I've never seen him before, who has like a hammer, and then he drops a hammer and he turns into like an old corpse. Yeah. Like, what's that? Kid Thor. Is that in other Invincible Universe books? Oh, see, I don't read those. But it was interesting to me the way that Robert Kirkman here treats them, just like, you get it, right? He's a character that needs to hold his hammer to be... Like, he has a great superhero lexicon in this book, which makes you feel like, oh, yeah, this is like, I can be right with this book even if I don't read it all the time.
Sure.
Which is cool. Though, I agree with you, Alex. The tone of this book is so dark and just, like, nihilistic and such a bummer. Reading this book, it's like, ugh.
Oh, man.
People get blasted through there's one guy gets blasted with the torso and a girl gets blasted with, like, the jaw.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone dies in like a very just horrific way. Yeah. Which I feel like I don't mind violence. I don't mind it, but I feel like in this, since there's so many like characters you don't really care about, it's one of those things like it's like, and now we're killing this person in a really horrible way, which I feel like when you kill someone in a really gruesome way, if it's someone that you really honestly care about, then you're like, no. But this one was like,
all
right.
I care about all
good,
of them.
She's done.
Yeah, I feel like if you like really cared about these people and they all died like this, it would be more of a impact.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he builds up to the emotional impact at the end, what goes on with Robot and his sometimes girlfriend Monster.
Yeah.
But again, my heart is no
scarred
more.
Scarred over.
It's scarred over. It's just a big bunch of scar tissue. Let's move on to talk about... that was gross, right? Let's talk about your pick, Batman Eternal, number 12.
Batman
from
Eternal.
From DC Comics. So what'd you think, Justin?
I like this book a lot. This is a weekly title, and those by DC are often sort of a problem because they have to come out every week. Which is like, what do you do every week? It's hard to maintain a level of quality, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Doing the same thing.
Every week,
every
week
single
out, it's hard
week.
To maintain a certain
it
level
just
of
becomes,
quality.
After like a couple of years, it becomes a grind.
You just coast.
Yeah.
But not.
I mean, I can't imagine having to deliver at least once a week.
Yeah, no. Wow, that's a sad state of affairs. You can't deliver on anything once a week.
Yeah.
Not even one thing.
Yeah.
You're an employed person.
Barely.
This book, just like our show, keeps delivering week in and week out.
Okay, all right. I see what you're going for.
I don't think this great Batman book. It's got a great full cast. Not every cast member of the book is even featured in every issue. We didn't see Stephanie Brown spoiler in this, and that's fine. I look forward to seeing it pop up. It's all the little bits are written really well. The overarching story is really cool. It's great. I love it. It's good Batman storytelling without a bunch of
hoopla. Yeah, quick plot note. Basically, what's going on is essentially it points down to Batman is fighting a war on many fronts. There's a gang war going on. There's some weird magical stuff going on. There's other stuff going on, as well as the regular assortment of Gotham weirdness. Things haven't quite hit a boiling point yet, but they're getting very, very close.
What I like about this is it makes me stressed out for Batman's day.
Yeah.
Like in this, there's so much going on. You're like, how is he? He doesn't even know about this yet. He doesn't even know about these guys.
When is he sleeping? What is he eating?
Well, yeah, when he's all around. He's in regular costume. He's in like other people's clothes.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to juggle.
Yeah.
Just the outfit changes alone. Where does he carry all his clothes in, like, a briefcase? Does he leave them someplace and go to that place?
A couple of issues from now, there's going to be one of those scenes where he's like, here I am, Bruce Wayne. And they'll be like, why are you wearing Batman's cowl? It'll be like, ooh.
Yeah, no, exactly. If you oversleep or something, you show up late. What did you guys think?
I like Scott Snyder a lot. And
this issue, real quick, it's co-written by Scott Snyder. It's written by James Tynan.
Scott Snyder plotted the whole thing.
I've liked him since he's kind of taken over Batman.
Yeah.
I do feel like I read the first two issues of Eternal, and then I hadn't caught up, and then I read this before the show, and I feel like I didn't miss anything. We were kind of right where I left off, I felt like.
Yeah.
So, and maybe that's kind of part of it coming out every week, and they're just kind of boiling it slowly, but, you know, Gordon's still like, I don't know, maybe I did it, you know. Mm-hmm.
It is weird the way they're playing Gordon, where he's like, I don't care. Let the justice system take me down if it needs to.
He's not being very helpful.
Yeah, Batman's like, I hid in this car with you.
Yeah.
Why are you being a dick?
I went through a lot of trouble to get into this outfit.
I beat up a man and took his SWAT gear.
This is the issue. Yeah, Batman has two amazing disguises.
Oh, that's
in this
what
issue.
I love, man.
Yeah.
I love Batman disguises.
His disguise in court was piece of shit.
Oh, geez. He's just real quick. Yeah,
so like, his first disguise sneaks into the back of a police van with Commissioner Gordon, manages to wear a police helmet, and Gordon's like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And then later on, he goes to court, and he's wearing glasses.
Hey, that's a smart disguise.
That's it. Works.
And my, actually, my bigger problem with the glasses disguise is not that anybody is like, oh, my God, you're Batman, so much as like, hey, that's Bruce Wayne, exactly. Billionaire.
Yeah, yeah, but they're like, Bruce Wayne has perfect eyesight, so why would he be wearing glasses? Why would he
fair
be wearing
point,
glasses?
Fair point, yes.
You know?
Yeah. But wait a second. No, because as soon as he got in the car, Gordon was like, you got to get better at your disguise as Batman. I know that, too.
Yeah. But that's because he can see and smell him.
Bad. I know that chin.
The court one is bad because it's like he's wearing a baseball cap and glasses.
Exactly. Yeah.
Throws me off.
Looks like
every
a celebrity.
Time.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. If I saw Alex without glasses, I'd be like, who the fuck is this dashing?
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's this?
Oh, my God. Your eyes got huge. Did you I? Have wow. owl eyes. What I the do. Fuck, man?
Whoa, whoa. Cool off on the.
Ah! Look at that.
Hey, Pete, hold back on the compliments. You're really inflating his ego.
I know that Pete is crazy attracted to owls.
Oh, yeah, my God. Clearly.
Thank God.
Hey, Pete.
Thank you for putting those back on.
Did those glasses come off, owl?
No. Nope.
For your old owl eyes?
Is that how you hit out a girl? Hey, do those glasses,
do those glasses come off?
Hey, girl.
Oh, I feel like DC has a proclivity for glasses disguises,
oh,
and
yeah,
they never work. Like you said, yeah. Like that's like, oh, hey, that's Bruce Wayne. What are you doing? Hey, dude, what are you doing in this courtroom? It's not me. It's stupid. It makes no sense that... No one in any bullpen has been like, hey, dude, let's actually, if he uses disguise. Like, I love when Batman used to put on, like, masks, like Mission Impossible masks. And be like,
Matches Malone kind of.
Yeah, like Dark Knight Returns.
Mustache. Yeah, exactly. It works
like,
every
Dark
time.
Dark Knight Returns, he's the old lady. He's like old lady, and it's like, wait a minute. And, like, he hits him, and you see it's like, oh, that's fucking Batman. He's dressed solely. That's a real fucking disguise. Mm-hmm. Him, Bruce Wayne, going into a courtroom, one of the most famous men in the world, going in and putting on sunglasses, and no one being like, that guy looks just like Bruce Wayne, but it couldn't be him because he's wearing sunglasses inside.
But, I mean, the Matches Malone thing, I think, like, Bruce Wayne must have at some point trained underneath a great makeup artist.
Oh, yeah, man.
Like,
yeah, Dick Smith. He got taught by Dick Smith.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Is that? I don't know who that is.
No,
then.
Dick Smith is a famous makeup person. Oh, yeah.
I believed him, man.
No, so I was like, Dick Smith? Right, what issue?
issue 37.
How did I miss that one?
Oh, that great Dick Smith makeup solo series where he made up the cast of Zoopaloo Zoo.
He was gone for like 9 years. Like he trained with like Late Shiva and a bunch of, you know, of course.
Exactly.
Dick Smith was in there somewhere.
He spent 1 year with a bunch of like ninjas and 8 years with a makeup artist.
Yeah.
Just perfecting like getting the hair here.
Yeah.
Because also I want to see an issue where he's like, Bruce, you got to go. There's a big thing going on. He's like, I'm not ready yet. I'm not finished with all the makeup. So.
I want to see Ishii give himself a finger mustache.
Yeah. He was training. And put on the mustache. It wasn't working. 8 years. 7 years and 355 days. They were like, you know what? Try this toothpick. And he was like, who are you?
Yeah. Ghost Man. Yeah. Exactly. Spirit gum. Hard
cool.
to get
last
off.
Issue, last comic that we're going to talk about. This is my pick. Ghost number 5.
Great.
From Dark Horse Comics.
Oh,
great.
People crazy about this.
All right. Well, you
I
should
think
be
a ghost
this
is the only one
not.
That clapped for it.
Ooh, I love it. I really like this book a lot. This is a reboot of a very old superhero idea. Basically, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's this girl. She died, went to hell, got brought back. Now she has intangibility powers, uses it to fight crime and demons in Chicago. That's the boilerplate. That's a
classic tale.
But it's really fun. It's a fun book. The action is good. The art is very good. This issue, I think, is a very good jumping on point, too. I've been reading the book for a while. And
about 5 issues.
They actually had a couple of miniseries before it.
Yeah,
jerk. And this is probably the most straightforward issue so far, which is one of the things I like about it. She finds this old-timey scare host, sort of like a crypt keeper type guy who's doing some weird shenanigans, gets involved in it, gets a little bit in over her head. I don't know. I'm enjoying this book a lot. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy, so I'm curious to hear what you thought of this book.
I didn't get to read very much of it, but there was one line in it that I thought was awesome. It was right in the very beginning. She's like walking down the street. She's dressed as like a normal person, and all these guys surround her to hurt her, and then she turns into her ghost version self, and she says, "Surprise, idiots!" That's awesome.
Yeah. That's how you know a hero's present.
Yeah.
Surprise, idiots.
Surprise.
So, Justin, you seem pretty sold on this book.
I mean, it's fine. I'm curious what really elevated it to you to be your pick of the week, because it seems like pretty standard. This reminded me of Hack Slash actually a lot,
uh-huh.
where like it's this sort of goofy-ish villain who like murders people in on television, mm-hmm. and it's like
maybe
we should go check this dude out.
Maybe it fondly reminded me of Hack Slash. Maybe that's what it was.
Oh, nostalgia.
Yeah,
but it's I like the character of Ghost. I think that's a cool person. But the issue would seem like pretty standard thing.
All right, buddy. Pete?
I really love the art. I really enjoy the writing. It's just something about it that doesn't kind of grab a hold of me a little bit. I think it's the fact that, like, she walks around and is like, I'm so, you know, like, these guys can't even come close to touching me because I can reach through people's brains. You know, I can become, like, flesh and punch people in the face, and then I can go invisible again, like, go underground. So then it's like, you know, she's almost cocky about it, and then it's like, oh, shit, someone shoots her, and then it's like, oh, it's on now. I feel like all the issues I've read, I haven't been impressed, but I feel like this issue feels like it's going somewhere that I might enjoy.
Are you saying you don't like her attitude?
Yeah, I don't like her attitude, but I also...
She's cocky.
I'm excited to read more, though, for the first time.
Yeah, cool. You want her to come down to Earth.
Yeah. Let's take her down a peg or two. You know what I mean?
Okay, cool. You like your heroes to be just right below you. Just someone that you can really look down on.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Cool. And that's the stat.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It is time for our next section, which is your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for your audience questions, I'm going to come out to you guys. Ask a question about geek stuff, movie stuff, anything for our wonderful guests here, and you will get free comics. All you have to do is raise your hand. Let's go over to this fine sir over here first.
Oh, wow.
You, fine, sir. What's your name?
My name's Rolando.
Hey, great. Rolando. What's your question?
Hi, Rolando.
Hi. My question is, what do you guys think would make a really good weekly comic that has not been done yet?
Oh, weekly
good
comic.
A really good weekly comic. Taskmaster.
Yeah, so let's open it up. Any publisher. Taskmaster?
Taskmaster.
Oh, I thought you were calling him a Taskmaster.
No, what a Taskmaster. Very smart. Taskmaster. I would love to see a weekly comic with Taskmaster just being a mercenary and, like, pulling, I love the miniseries that they came out with, and the art of like showing the way they drew it, of showing him like using a style of someone else, but like there'd be part of him they drew of like if he had the shield, he'd be like Captain America. I would love to see him just going around.
I feel like that was the series that Fred Van Lente did. Am I wrong about that?
It was.
On Taskmaster? Yeah, that was great.
I want more of that. It was dealing with his memory, and now he's like, he was losing his memory, and they had to go protect that. He had to go protect that girl and whatnot. And yeah. I would love to see a weekly thing of. But I mean, for me, that was like, oh, that's like kind of. It's one of those things I feel like it was like a retcon of like, hey, wait a minute. He's incredibly powerful. If you go like, you know, if this, then what else? If this is true, what else is true? Mm. I would love to see him just be like, yeah, I don't lose my memories. I can just learn things from seeing them. Just seeing him be a mercenary, but dealing with the other mercenary type characters in the Marvel Universe, like Punisher and Deadpool, and like all those street level guys seeing him be kind of an anti-hero, like, hey, listen, if you ask me to protect the president, I'll do that. If you ask me to try to kill Spider-Man, I'll do my best. I might not win, because he has a lot of friends, and I have a skull for a face, so... That's his biggest Achilles heel.
He's a skull,
skull face.
Yeah. What about you guys?
I would like to see, this would probably be boring to everyone but me, but I would like to see, like, a weekly Joker comic where... You just, like, see him planning out whatever the next big thing is going to be. Or, like, and then one arc, he'd be, like, in Arkham, like, planning his escape.
Oh, man, I would love that.
That would be actually cool.
And then
you just get to see the evil planning.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, walking around without a face and, like, how he's got to deal with that.
Oh, man, that got creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, does he moisturize? What does he do?
It's not boring at all.
Because you can treat those scars with vitamin E and they'll vanish. Oh. It's a little insight from the dermatological community. I think that's very cool. I'd like to see a weekly Wolverine series.
Took my answer.
Really?
Kind of.
I love it when I... Oh, kind of? Okay.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I was going to say a weekly X-Men series. I just feel like X-Men, you could do the same kind of treatment as Batman and it would go right in, but go ahead with your Wolverine.
Because he's in so many books, I'd like to see some sort of series that would rationalize that a little bit or like make sense of him being like, oh, I got to catch this flight And it's him flying to different hot points.
Oh,
man,
that'd be so great to see Wolverine just on a plane.
That would be awesome. He was on a plane, like, he would be mad the whole time.
People know who he is, right? It's like, hey, where are you headed? I got to go be an Avenger.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, cool.
What about like a weekly hero airline type thing? Like the people just who fly plane? Heroes everywhere.
No. Not
like
a damage lot of control, but not a lot airlines. Of movement. Yeah. But
Nope. It could be like Pan Am, the show Pan Am that everybody liked with Christina Ricci.
Oh, yeah. Great reference. Yeah.
Did really well.
Definitely. Pete, what do you got?
I would like to see a weekly Hulk comic where it's just not so much Bruce Banner. You know, just Hulk.
I would expect you to want to see all Bruce Banner.
Nope.
Doing science.
Nope. It's just all just Hulk.
Quietly exploring the
universe. It would be awesome because it would just start when he turns into Hulk. And then it ends when he's, like, done. So you just get to see Hulk out moments of just raw action. So, and no real explaining it either. He's in the middle of the ocean and he beats up a couple of sharks. And then he, like, jumps away to an island and beats up everyone on the island.
So you want to read a comic that's like a child's dream. Like a young boy's dream.
Wasn't the Hulk like a bouncer in Vegas for a while?
Yes. He was.
That'd be cool. Like, to just watch him
bounce people out of casinos. Too many words.
You gotta get out of here.
Yeah, if there was a weekly comic book called, like, rah, 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 that'd be pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Great.
Let's get the next question. You, sir, over here. Going to come on over to you.
Yeah. I'm Nick.
Hi, Nick. Jump the gun there, Nick. What's your question?
What's your name, Nick? The crowd work
every
is
show
going
I like
well.
To do hilarious bit where I ask great. People their names.
You haven't learned the lessons of our crowd work intro.
Where are you from?
Nick.
New York.
Nick York.
Native New York. That's pretty good. What's your question?
If there was one secondary or kind of background character, be it a second string villain or just some lesser known sidekick that one day becomes highly relevant, which one would you prefer it be, and how do they become relevant?
Damn, that's nice.
That's an intense question. A lower tier character becomes hyper relevant, and who and how?
Same answer.
Taskmaster.
To see him be like the Deathstroke of the Marvel Universe, like this fucking badass. Like, you know what he has to do? He has to kill someone really, really important. And like, it's one of those, almost one of those things, like, then I would want him to have like the whole mental degradation thing where he's losing memories. Someone fixes that and gives him like a brain where he can just store endless amounts of data. Mm-hmm. And he ends up being like, oh, I'm the best person. He has like, in my mind, he kills Wolverine. Whoa. He kills Wolverine, and everyone's like, holy fuck.
Yo, fuck
Taskmaster.
Pete knows Wolverine. He does not want him dead.
He kills Wolverine, and everyone's like, holy fuck, he's just fucking off Wolverine. And then he becomes like the Deathstroke. Like, he's like this bounty hunter / hitman that you just hire out.
They have very similar boots.
Yeah, true story. They have the Buccaneer boots. And like, it's one of those things I want him to be like, all right, my payment is like X amount of millions of dollars, and you have to get me
new
footage
boots.
Of them fighting. You have to give me new boots and footage of them fighting, and they have to like give him like a DVD of like every like news coverage, and he just sits in a room, studies them, and comes out in like a week, and he's like, all right, I'm ready, and then goes and fights them.
So wait, what's a DVD?
Well, there were these antiques from the 19... I'm young, so I'm like...
Maybe just to make it a little more relevant, what if he has stuff put in his ultraviolet locker?
In the cloud. They just upload it to the cloud. Yeah, to the cloud.
I mean, he should definitely upgrade.
We'll keep workshopping this. What other ideas do we have?
Kind of what happened in Invincible here. I would like for some secondary character to just like somehow get the power. Kind of like Armageddon. Remember that? Where like
the movie?
Movie Armageddon?
No, Armageddon 2001. It was like a crossover thing.
Yeah,
Hawk and Dove.
It turns out that Hawk was the villain.
Yeah, and he killed like everybody.
And Wave Rider had to go check out all the heroes.
He came from the future. Yeah.
You lost me at Wave Rider.
I want something like that. So like Foggy Nelson like comes back and kills everybody.
Whoa!
And takes over.
Shit. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that'd be super cool. Like Axe of Foggy.
Exactly.
Yeah. He teams up with Dr. Doom. And
Foggy.
And
it
betrays him.
Yeah.
Great. Saying Wave Rider, maybe Wave Rider should ride back to prominence. Because he was great. He could he could do anything. He could travel through time, except he could never help anybody. He just watched, and he would touch them on the shoulder and be like, oh, you're going to die.
And he was just sad.
He was sad the whole time.
Yeah.
So, like, he could be really sad, like, all the time.
This really sounds awesome.
Yeah. emo comics.
Pete, what kind of sad idea do you have?
All right. Hear
me out.
Be
good.
So, this is how I started. I do a movie with a couple no-name people, and the movie does so well that, like, a character gets a spin-off comic and then becomes the central part of the new Marvel Universe. And that would be Groot.
Wait, what? Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah. You do a movie?
No. Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be an amazing movie, and then everyone's going to want Groot in his own series. And then Groot's going to be the center of the Marvel Universe.
Right, so your idea, so just to make sure, yep. your idea for
idea
for a side character that should become could become a main character in your spin is,
right.
is what if you took a side character and made them a main character and then they would spin out?
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I'm going to go with that, too. Yeah. Cool. Let's get another question for the audience.
Nice.
You, sir, right over there. I'm going to come over to you. This mic doesn't quite stretch, so why don't you come over to me? What's your name, sir?
Arnoy.
Say that again.
Arnoy. It happened last time. Nobody.
All right, sorry. Well, what's your question, sir?
Which classic storyline did you just absolutely not like? Like, personally, I don't like Sandman, Watchmen, or Dark Knight Rises. No,
oh, my
Dark
God.
Dark Knight Returns.
Wow.
Nobody fight me. So, just which classic, quote-unquote, storyline did you just
yeah, not like? Great question.
Sure, yeah,
fuck
very good question.
You, first off.
Classic.
Well, what a what a welcoming host.
Well, does anybody have an answer to that off the bat? Does anybody have a classic storyline that they didn't particularly like? Superman and Batman versus vampires and werewolves is a good one. Classic
yep,
storyline.
That is classic. Epic.
Spider-Man, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Oh, the one you always say?
Yeah, the one I always say.
Right. One more day.
One more day.
Okay.
Well, the one, the new, you know, the fact that Wolverine's going to die, I'm going to hate that one.
Oh, that's not a classic.
Yeah.
That's right. Actually, it hasn't come out yet.
That's going to fucking suck.
Yeah, it's a new classic, though. It's a new classic.
Yeah.
That's a hard question.
That is.
Frankencastle was bullshit.
Not classic.
You don't know what a classic is.
I don't know what
You're
classic
talking
is.
Like the big storylines. We're talking like Infinity Gauntlet. We're talking...
No, that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like Secret Wars. Well,
that was great. You can't hate that.
I think Crisis on Infinite Earths, okay. I feel like people really hold that up as the one DC got right for so long. And that's never really sat well with me. I feel like that put them in such the wrong direction for their whole line of comics and all the heroes and everything, with the multiverse being such a thing. And I hate when in stories when the characters get easy outs, where it's like, oh, the stakes just lower when you can be like, oh, we'll just add this character from another dimension. And that set that precedent for all of the DC comic line.
What was the arc where Jason Todd came back to life?
We became the Red Hood, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Whatever that is, I don't like that.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. That was some real...
Didn't he, like, bang... Like, somebody was banging on the wall of the multiverse and
yeah,
he slipped
through? Yeah, Superboy Prime.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? I'll say it's a...
Yeah.
I'll say it's a tie for me between Superman, the Death Superman, and... oh, my God, not to the tip of my tongue. Oh, and... I can't remember the other one that I was thinking of just now. But, yeah, Death of Superman, to me, was just like...
You don't like Doomsday?
Yeah, because it was one of those things. He was invented to kill Superman. Yeah. He was like, hey, who can kill Superman? A guy with poison knuckles. And he's in a green suit, and he literally at one point has one hand tied behind his back. It's like, okay, we get it. It's like, no, it was almost like Invincible. Like, he sees like the other JLA, and he just starts... wrecking them.
Well, and
it's
that's
like,
also the other problem with Death of Superman is it's a product of its time. Oh, I read it recently too, and there's so many storylines that are just crazy that I completely forgot. Like,
are you not a Bibbo fan?
What?
Aren't you a fan of Bibbo? Superman's friend who like delivered newspapers or something?
Yeah. Well, do you remember that was the time when Lex Luthor was a big, gigantic, red bearded man.
Ginger. Big old ginger.
Big red bearded man who was pretending to be Lex Luthor's brother, I think, but he was actually Lex Luthor in his brother's body.
Oh man,
pretending to be Lex Luthor while I think his wife was his sister or something like that. It was the most screwed up thing of all time. That was only one of the tiny little things. Great storyline.
That and the Dark Phoenix. I just remembered. It's the Phoenix Saga.
Oh.
Can't. It's just, controversial. I think it's one of those things that gets been retroactively diluted because Jean Grey has come back so many goddamn times. That it's one of those things like, oh, remember the Phoenix Saga? Yeah, but it was kind of
rendered moot.
I mean,
it was pretty shitty when after she died, they were like, oh, no, she's just been in at the bottom of the ocean.
No, it's like a movie. No,
in a little safe place sleeping.
She will rise again.
Yeah.
Cool. Can we take one more question?
One more. Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, Pete. One more question. Anybody from the audience? You, sir, all the way in the back. Yes, you. You are the one furthest back. There's literally nobody behind you. You come on up, sir. And what is your name?
Andrew.
All right, Andrew, what's your question?
I'm just wondering, since Disney Marvel's making Big Hero 6, are there any obscure comics you'd like to see as an animated movie?
Oh, good question.
Big Hero 6 is pretty obscure.
It is very obscure, but it's a good choice, I think.
Are they using the Chris Claremont series?
It's a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. The heroes have the same name as the Chris Claremont stuff, most of them, but they're very different. I mean, it's not obscure. I know I've said this on the show before, but I don't know why there isn't a Power Pack something animated. I just think that'd be great. It makes so much sense. That's all. Yeah. The end.
That's pretty good.
Wolverine, he's obscure, right?
Yeah, let's get into the Wolverine characters we never hear about.
Or something.
I'd say Damage Control. You mentioned it earlier. I would see a cool... I'd like to see like a Damage Control in the style of like The Incredibles. Like it's back in like the 60s or 70s, and they're just like dealing with...
Yeah, I mean, that's a great like sort of comedy. If the DC movies ever have a single grain of humor in them,
they won't
do Damage Control. Right. Yeah, they won't, especially based on the series coming out.
That's Marvel.
It's Marvel.
Yeah. Huh? Or, right, well, I guess...
like, wait, what?
Fuck, I fucked up.
Sorry, clone!
Man. Huh?
It's all right, man.
It's all right.
what about... I mean, this is one they've also been kicking around, but Runaways, but like as an anime... Sort of that inspired.
Interesting.
I think that would be kind of cool. I'd like to see it as a series. There's the big monsters towards the end that I'm totally blanking on the name of. But it feels like something that could actually lend itself really nicely to a weekly anime-style animated treatment. I think that would be kind of neat. I know that's not exactly answering your question.
Yeah.
This isn't obscure, but I'd like to see Planetary. I think that would be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. As a feature film?
As a series of films. I think it'd be awesome.
Well, that's DC, but, you know.
Well, I mean, maybe Disney could just buy them, too, and then fix them, and then make Planetary.
There we go. Perfect.
Cool. Fix them.
That's it for your audience questions. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
And in the Week in Geek, we're very quickly going to chat through some of the big topics that happened to the world of geek, starting off with Planet Hulk. Yeah. Lots of Planet Hulk news that happened this week. Back and forth, lots of rumors going on. I know you guys hate when I plug stuff, but on MTV News, we talked to Mark.
Jesus.
We talked to Mark Ruffalo about the possibility of a Planet Hulk movie.
And he said no.
Here's the thing that got totally lost in the report, because we did, eventually he was like, no, I don't think that's the right way to go. You need more Banner than Planet Hulk. But he detailed every single plot point of Planet Hulk when he answered that question, which was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Just him running down every... He was like, oh, yeah, that's the storyline where 2 minutes later he's described Planet
Hulk.
So
you think it's weird that he knows that if they're not working?
Not actually that part. I just thought it was neat that he knew the storyline. I thought that was super cool.
Wasn't it also leaked that, like, at the end of Age of Ultron...
I heard there were some rumors, yeah.
Yeah, this is... So
he gets shot off planet?
Yeah, there's rumors that at the end of Avengers 2, spoilers... Hulk gets shot off planet. Maybe he ends up with the Guardians of the Galaxy in a Guardians of the Galaxy sequel if that happens. If that's true, what do you guys think about that?
That would be Planet Hulk if that happened.
It would be weird if the Hulk was with Guardians of the Galaxy because of Drax. Like, aren't they sort of the very similar dudes?
The same
dudes?
Character?
Yeah. So to have both those dudes hanging out in space.
Just because they're green, are you being racist?
Yes.
No, I mean,
they're berserkers.
It's crazy racist.
It's just because it's
crazy racist.
He's not a race because their skin is green.
You're being greenist right now.
It's not easy being green, and it's maybe they could actually bond. No, I just think like it doesn't make sense when you're telling
a
story.
You can't have two badass dudes on the same team. That's what you're saying?
They would probably end up fighting against
nine badass dudes.
They would fight against the Hulk, right?
They'd fight.
They would have to fight him.
Yeah, they'd have to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool.
I just think it's distracting. It's distracting. It would make more sense to put a Planet Hulk solo movie.
It would.
Or at least just Hulk in a different...
I like the idea... The idea that was I heard kind of floating around that I don't know if was mentioned in the story was that it is essentially the Planet Hulk storyline, but they're all drafted into it. The Guardians
That'd
get captured
cool.
as well. Hulk gets captured as well. They all
nope,
end up gladiators on this planet together.
That
nope.
makes sense.
That would be kind of awesome.
If
right?
it starts with the Hulk there and then they show up and...
The Hulk solo movie has got to be him as a bouncer in Vegas.
Yeah.
Planet Hulk was amazing. Why would you fuck with that?
Because it's... It's a lot of continuity.
I think you have to build up too much to do Planet Hulk. Yeah. I think you have to build up. You have to build up the Illuminati. You
it's
have to show
be,
like
yeah.
that.
It's
I feel
be
like
three movies, but it'd be worth it.
Yeah, it's three. It's worth it, but it's one of those.
No
I feel like
one
it's one
would
of those
see
things,
one of those movies.
I
feel like
the problem. I would be there every time.
Yeah,
my every fundamental time. Problem with the Hulk is the fact that when you go to see a Hulk movie,
wait,
no matter
wait,
who
wait,
you
watch your fucking mouth.
I know. I know. That's why I'm sitting all the way over here. That's why because I know you'll come across the table.
All you do is curse out people on the show.
I got one job.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with the Hulk is the, no matter who you cast as Bruce Banner, and we've seen this because there have been three Bruce Banners, the main thing of all these movies is how you do the Hulk.
Right.
So I feel like the main problem going forward is like, yeah, Mark Ruffalo is an amazing Bruce Banner, and he's done the motion capture for the Hulk, which is great because he's doing that.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you do Planet Hulk, the Hulk is just the Hulk in Planet Hulk. There's no Bruce Banner. So I feel like to do Planet Hulk, you'd essentially be like, hey, remember when you played Bruce Banner and did all that work on creating this character that we're supposed to relate to? No one cares about that. They wanted to see the Hulk in a gladiator, like a gladiator arena, and do stuff. So I feel like if they put him in the Guardians of the Galaxy, think of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or maybe 3, or maybe like the bumper at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is the Hulk arriving, and then Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is them dealing with this force that's just in their realm now would be kind
of
cool.
Well, maybe you do the second part of Planet Hulk where it's he goes off, he fights the Guardian of the Galaxy. We don't really see whatever else happens off
comes
screen,
back.
And then he comes back.
Oh, yeah, man.
And then that's him coming back and being pissed that he got sent away in the
boys.
First place.
Yeah.
I would like to retort that bullshit that you just spouted. I was very polite through all of that.
I did that.
So,
retort.
First of all, fuck you. Apparently, you missed the whole point of the great series of Planet Hulk. He, at the end, when he finds the woman that he loves, he reveals his true self to her in a very powerful moment. So, you don't get to see Bruce Banner for all of it, but then when you see it, it's the most powerful fucking thing, man.
Do you know what they could do? This is just to throw it out there, maybe make it easier. If the problem is that Mark Ruffalo is like, I don't want to do that, why don't they get the Hulk to do the movie,
right.
And then he can motion capture Mark Ruffalo for those bits.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Sort of a
wait,
a
that's
real
not bullshit?
Yeah.
All right, real quick,
talk
because
to
we got
to
move
union.
On. It was announced that Constantine, the new series on NBC, is not going to have any cigarettes.
Boo.
Pete?
Oh, that's bullshit. Well, why call it Constantine?
Great, we got to move on.
Is that because are all the cigarettes in the TV show The Leftovers?
They took them over there. Yeah, for the guilty.
It ran out. Did anyone watch that show?
Yeah,
everyone
sure
smokes all the time.
Yeah, read the book. Much better. Okay, other thing. We were talking about this actually a little earlier in the show. So there was a picture that was revealed of Henry Cavill as Clark Kent on the set of Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm.
We were mentioning
Justice.
The whole thing about glasses. You know, people always say, how do people not know that Clark Kent is Superman when he's just wearing those glasses? It looks like Batman v Superman has solved the problem. He's not wearing any glasses at all.
So people are just stupid.
Yeah, people are just
it's
idiots.
Like, isn't that guy that killed a lot of people a couple of months back? Yeah. He's an alien. Hey, you, get over here. And then he flies away.
What would be amazing is if as Clark Kent, he does a reverse Christian Bale Batman
Ooh.
Voice, so he's like, I'm Clark Kent. What kind of story do you want
Wasn't
to do
there
today?
Something where he vibrated when he was Superman so fast that you couldn't make out his features or something?
That was the porn version, I think?
Yeah, I think it was the porn version.
Porn
version.
But even then,
Say
it's like
what?
If he vibrates, it's like, hey, you seen Clark Kent? Yeah, the guy who's like coming apart at like his atoms? Yeah. Is something wrong with
Clark Kent? You're that atoms guy, right? Whether your atoms are all messed up?
Now, really quickly before we go, a bit of Arrow news. Pete, turning it over to you for your Arrow corner. So for next season, Devin Aoki, who you might have seen in Sin City, has been cast as Katana in the next season.
Nice.
Because, of course, spoiler, as we know, Arrow ends up in China towards the end of the season. So, Pete, what's your reaction to that?
That's fantastic.
And that's all the time we have. Thank you, Pete.
Keeping
all right, guys, it's time
tight.
For our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, guys. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand, and the $25 will be yours. Yes, you. First hand up, guy.
Yeah,
come on
go.
Down.
Come on down.
Join us on the stage.
Shirt.
Grab that
like
microphone, sir.
Here you go.
What is your name, sir?
Steven.
Steven, audience Steven.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, Steven, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you'll win $25. And as long as you read every comic that came out this week, you'll be fine.
Not a problem.
Oh, cocky. I love it.
Ice cold.
All right, here we go. So, in Guardians of the Galaxy number 16... who catches Quill when he jumps off the balcony? Is it A, Captain Marvel, B, Groot, or is it C, killing Wolverine is bullshit? Why are we letting this happen? So it's either A, which is correct, Captain Marvel, or it's B, Groot.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct, Steven.
Nice.
Nice job. In Trees number 2, which also came out, was amazing. What is the name of the Explorer robot? Is it A, Gandhi, B, Napoleon, or is it C, Wally? So it's either A, Gandhi, or B, Napoleon.
I'm going to go with B.
B is correct. Nice job. All right. Last one.
Last one.
All right. In Chew number 42, we open on the funeral of Sammy the Blank. Is it A, the seal? Is it B, the squirrel? Or is it C, Ivy Pepper? What? Ivy Pepper? Doesn't make any fucking sense. Should be Poison Ivy, not Ivy. All right, anyways. Chew number 42. Sammy the seal? Sammy the squirrel? Which one?
I'm going to go with the seal.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
There you go. $25 free. Congratulations, Steven.
Fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations. Now, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I just thought it was interesting. You guys mentioned your fondness for Hack Slash, and we have Hack Slash number 1, Son of Shaman, coming out. I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, Punisher number 8.
All right. Justin, what about you?
Cover both your bases. I'm looking forward to Lazarus number 9 from Image Comics,
you
the Greg Rucka series.
Yeah.
Great comic about a sort of dystopian future where corporate families run the entire planet, and this one woman who is like the hitman for one of the families. It's really great, really smart. Talks just a lot of world information all at once. It's great. Cool.
Corporations are going to kill us all.
I'm looking forward to...
Whoa.
Wow. Just drop that
weird
in there.
Snap.
Nice catch.
Weird little sneak.
Well, we're talking about a comic, right?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Nailbiter number 3 is coming out from a friend of the show, Joshua Williamson. It's been a great book so far. I know you guys have railed on me a little bit because it's ultra-violent. But it's about a serial killer who got off on a technicality and may be the key to solving the mysteries going on in a town full of other serial killers. So it's a pretty neat series. Very violent, but a lot of fun and a cool mystery. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy Prelude because I don't know much about Guardians of the Galaxy, and I want to get prepped for the movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. And plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Check out funnierdie.com and always vote funny.
Nice. Great. Bring that back if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for from the universe of Invincible, Tech Jacket, number one, because I like the idea of a community college dropout who lives with his mom but is also essentially Iron Man, which is kind of awesome. that, cool. you know, he has to deal with that.
So that yeah. comic gives you hope?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because nice. That's my life. I dropped out of Bronx Community College, and I was like, man, live with my mom. I wish I was Iron Man. Mm. I could just leave.
And plenty of stuff. What should people check out?
Thisisgus.com, and I perform all the time at the People's Improv Theater in New York City.
All right, very Sweet. Cool. A couple of things before we go. In 2 short weeks, we're going to have a very special show that we're very excited about. We're actually going to be coming live, I put in quotes, but we're going to be taping our show at Avenger Station in Times Square at the Discovery yeah. Center. We're going to have yeah. some special guests, including one of the people who is responsible for putting that nice place together,
yeah.
Talking about how it's built, in case you don't know. It's a display of Marvel movie memorabilia and other things. So that's going to be pretty neat, and we'll have yeah. details on the website about that very soon. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Jason for being on the show. Yeah. Langston!
Yeah.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks,
good night,
everybody. Guys, thank you. Thanks for coming out. Really appreciate it.